It's like arriving somewhere for the first time at night. And you can't see the landscape. All you can see is what's in front of you in the headlights. And most of us running our lives are like driving a car at night. You see this little bit in front of you, and the rest is just dark. And then if you happen to watch the sun come up, all of a sudden you see this incredible landscape. So ayahuasca, I think, is more an illuminator, because you still have to do the work. It doesn't do work for you, it just shows a way. And because it's using your language and your own imagery, just like a dream, that way is very specific to you, and that's why it's healing. And so, shaman is not a person, it's a way. And each one of us has a shamanic way, and that shamanic way is us tuning into our integrity and our truth. So, being a shaman is like being a healer, or being an artist, and in fact, they're not really different. All it is using what we have as our anchor on this earth, which is our body, to tune into our own divinity. And of course, our body doesn't end here, our body just extends out into nature, and so all the plants and animals and minerals, they're all our kin. And of course, all these people, they're our kin. In fact, we dream them. And so, yes, ayahuasca. Sorry about that, right? I'm going to hand that over to Don.
Thank you. Yeah, I totally resonate with Dan, as always, as usual. And yeah, it's an interesting thing that, you know, there is one of many, many different modalities that seems to be awakening and transforming consciousness at this time. And yeah, if we all agree to meet in the attic, some people might go up the stairs, other people might climb up the walls, other people might parachute in. But once you get to the attic, you go, oh, right, here we all are in the attic. Man, how did you get here? How did you get here? How did you get here? Right, okay. So in other words, it is all leading to the same path. All paths lead to Rome, I should say. And, you know, either there's a path, or, you know, a way, or a modality, or a beautiful day, an illuminator, a catalyst, that seems to be coming into prominence again. And it's much like our esteemed mentor, Terence McKenna, said, it's an archaic revival. It's not something that's new. It's something that's resurging from something deep in our cellular memory, in our collective evolutionary past. And the medicine, as it is, as most of you know, mirrors natural neurotransmitters that already exist in the brain. And that's why it's so clean. And so, and non-toxic, and why it can open up into a visionary experience which gives deep insight into oneself and into one's world, cosmos, that one lives in. And it's an incredible font of information, and opens up as a teacher with an extraordinary multi-dimensional expressions of what it is. And to me, it's like a gift of consciousness that comes from nature, and it's been held in such high esteem by the native peoples who've had the good fortune to be able to interact with these plant medicines and the intelligences behind the plant medicines. But as it is opening today, it seems to be opening up in another, just as we evolve, it also seems to be evolving, that ecology of soul that works through the medicine. And that's really it. It's like finding the pathways with the medicine, because the medicine is a doorway. It's a portal. It opens up into more subtle worlds in the third-dimensional plane. But as a doorway, it is just that. How you enter into that doorway, and what you do once you're through that doorway, is pretty much up to you. And so it's not like saying this is the way, or that is the way, or this other way is the way. It's simply opening up to the multidirectional possibilities of who we are reflected in her, or vice versa. And as such, it's really up to oneself where one goes and where one finds oneself. Because the songs that were used in the latest in the music, the sounds, are like pathways. They're like sonic pathways that open up to various places in these subtle worlds. And once you know the path and know the way to navigate through to certain states of being, it can also then, there's a possibility for, you know, synergistic interaction with those worlds. And so it's very individual. That's why it can be that a Taoist can use it, a Buddhist can use it, a Christian, whatever. It can really open up ways, whatever your intent should be taken, whatever your will, your wish is. At first, it's very important to have a guide in the sense that it keeps the energy focused and keeps the energy in a container which can be directed and used by the spirits of the astral as well as by oneself. But after a while, it can be really, once you're embedded and anchored in that space, there's no reason why you can then use it as a university or a font or a tool to explore all kinds of things according to your intention. But it seems that, just to get back to Rat's thing, because I'm digressing a bit, and how it's manifesting on the planet today, it seems to be as a great awakener. Because we in the West have been divorced from the natural garden that people, the indigenous people who have used these medicines, have traditionally found themselves in and existed within. There's been a full awareness of that, a multi-dimensional awareness. In fact, they say the 3D world is merely a shadow of those more subtle worlds that we visited with the medicine. That in fact, this world is the result of interactions that happen in that world. And they placed far more importance upon the implicate order than the explicate order as it was being played out here in the world. I don't know about which is which, I just think both are important. I think we need to embrace, we in the West particularly, are opening up to embracing once again that multidimensional nature, and not to create any separation or distance between our existence and ourselves. And so this is a really great miracle, a great gift, a great blessing for this planet, because it's, a lot of people blame technology for the ills that we find ourselves in, the injustice in the world, the pollution, the misery, the abuse that's come from power. In fact, technology is not the problem at all. It's always been the state of consciousness of the one who uses the technology. I often use the analogy that a knife can cut bread and be useful, but at the same time it can stab somebody and kill somebody. It's not the knife's fault, it's the intention of the one who uses it. This is true of all the tools of power, including ayahuasca. And so that's why it's not in itself a be-all and end-all. It is like an opening. It's like, as Dan said, an illuminator. And one should never mistake the tool, Osho used to say, I'm like a finger pointing towards the moon. Don't confuse the finger for the moon. The truth is oneself, our own being, our essence. And any modality worth a salt will lead us to that place, like we said earlier, all roads lead to Rome. So I feel that that's the gift that it's bringing in the West today. It's opening us up and healing the split in the Western psyche. And it's quite extraordinary how it's manifesting everywhere, because nobody is in control or seems to be coordinating this other than the plants and the spirits that work through the plants themselves. And it couldn't come at a better time. And especially, when we're massively destroying the planet, and that same technology that can destroy the planet can also heal it again, and in fact will be instrumental in healing again. Because the technology is a wonder, it's a wondrous tool. It's just like any other tool, which can be used really, really, really positively. And I believe that we in the West have been given this technology, but we still had the consciousness of children collectively. And so the medicine, I feel, is here to grow, help people grow up, to become of age, to be aware, to take responsibility, to be present, to honour our surroundings and our relationships and the world around us as much as we honour ourselves. And so in that way, I think it's a great blessing, and I think it's a great thing that it's opening up, because what we're really working for is a critical mass. If we just move towards a critical mass, many, many, many more can come to the same state of consciousness. So I think that it's much as you said, Rack, it's opening up and spreading everywhere, opening. And all I can do, from the point of view where I work with it a lot, is to celebrate that opening and celebrate that awakening.
I'm going to hand over to Margaret Cross to give some perspectives from your point of view on ALS. But just before that, I'd like to call up a special guest, if you'd like to come up, to Jeremiah Abrams.
Jeremiah is from America. He's a Jungian analyst and a writer of many books on shamanic sort of ideas and medium. So I'd like to invite you to join the panel and we'll get to you down the panel in a minute. Margaret, this is from your perspective then. I mean, you're a woman representative on the panel.
I'm the one with the boobs.
That's right. Thank you for pointing that out.
Yes.
But the reason I'm calling that observation down is the medicine of ayahuasca is often referred to as La Madre, the mother.
Yeah.
And Darpin was mentioning the healing before, and there's something about, you know, the planet, the idea of Gaia, which is a feminine entity from the Greek goddess, you know, Gaia, uh-huh. and the whole idea of Mother Earth. And I mentioned in my reading about the great green womb being really taken back into this space which is really feminine, you know, and this whole idea, what are your perspectives on the medicine as the healing tool and what's happening with that type of energetic relationship?
One thing I'm very aware of is that the soul wound of so many of us is that we were not properly mothered. That as children, we missed out on the divine mothering that we all deserve. And not to blame our own mothers because they somehow missed out on that bit too. And many of us as women, I know my own wound has been about not having a feminine role model anywhere that I could pin my own understanding of myself or where I could go. I spent my time as a young girl looking at Xena Warrior Princess and Red Sonja and all these, anything but the 1950s mother. So for me, my journey with ayahuasca has been so intensely about being a woman and about what it means to be a woman and the power that I hold as a woman for healing. And it is that nature of Madre as a feminine being that comes in, and it's that love, it's that ultimate mother love. And it's so simple. It's not complex. She comes in and she says, "Then there, darling, I see you. Oh, you hurt. Come on, you might need to go there and fix this, but come on, you hurt." It's really simple, but it's all about the mother. And this is what everybody's just hungering for. And, you know, you come into circle and you hold people in that space and you give them a chance to be little children again. And she comes in and she holds them and she does the work and she reminds them how loved, how beautiful, how protected, how amazing they are. And really, you don't need much more than that, do you? You know? It's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. And it is about the heart. And anybody who wants to play with the medicine for power or any other reasons, you can, that's your choice. But I suggest that we all come from a much higher intention now and that we do come from our hearts all the time, because when our intention meets up with Madre's intention, which is to heal everything, like let's get it all sorted, like, you know, no more mucking around, guys, it's time to get it all sorted. So when we come from that intention and that amazing heart space and we work with her as the mother and we come from our mothering spaces, we move mountains together. And that's why I think she's moving so strongly, because it's been so absent. You know, it's been deliberately crushed, deliberately pushed away. And that's why it was meant to be. That's okay. But now it's time for us to remember what it is to be our own perfect mothers. This is what ayahuasca reminds us, that if you are, as we all know we are, a fractal of the great fractal, we are therefore divine, and whose responsibility is it to look after that divinity? It's ours. Only you can mother yourself, only you can heal yourself, but Ayahuasca can show you how to do it. And don't discount the other amazing master teacher plants that are around that can also help, but for me that's been, you know, I've understood about birth, death, you know, my own ability to give birth, you know, being able to travel into that space of incredible creative power. She's healed all those wounds for me. And I didn't expect that. You know, I didn't come to the medicine knowing that she was going to fix my femaleness if she has. So amen to that, because we need healed mothers to have healed children and healed fathers. It is our job. Yeah, so we've got to get our shit together now so that we can heal the tribe, because we're planting the seeds of the future. So come on, girls. It's time to really mother it up, ladies. And let's make home. Every time we get together, make home for the tribe. Yeah, just make it the warmest, fuzziest, most magnificent experience. And we'll just heal everybody. Just like that. Amen.
Jeremiah, you've written a lot of books on the shadow, talking about healing here and the global healing and heart spaces. Maybe you could comment just a little bit from your area of expertise on, you know, these shamanic practices that are being rediscovered around the world and the healing that's going on. But what does the role of the shadow play in that dynamic?
I don't know if I can say specifically yet. I think I'd like to just address how the archaic revival does seem to be happening in my experience, both with my own bioassay of the green people medicine, but also just watching what's happening culturally for us. It seems like the plant world itself is a gift to us of wisdom. There is a way to look at the plants as containing the wisdom of being part of Gaia, being part of the planet. That the plants are wisdom keepers. And I think people in the past did understand how to use the chemistry of the plants to unlock our own wisdom. And you see evidence of this all over the planet, not just in the Amazon rainforest. Some teachers are better than others. In other words, the Greeks used an ergot that grew on wheat as a sacramental potion for their initiations at Eleusis, and the chemistry released the capacity to see the higher purpose in doing an earth walk. And so those who were initiated in Greece spoke, they were not allowed to talk about what the initiation was, but they spoke later of walking through the portal of life and death and finding a greater meaning and purpose in the gift of life that they've been given. And I think ancient peoples and native peoples have a lot of experience in discovering how to use plant medicine for just that purpose. My own experience with ayahuasca is as a let's say beginner's mind. You know, I have a friend who is an ayahuascaero, and he called me a few months ago and invited me to come and meditate with him. And I accepted his invitation, not really expecting, I didn't know what to expect. I was just ready for that experience. And maybe it would be useful just to say what that was like, because the set and setting was beautifully held. It's very important, I think, to have somebody who's skilled at holding the space for you. But as an initiate, I did not expect it to be such a mental experience. But it's like you're getting this huge download from the plant itself. And you can hardly move your body, at least we couldn't. six of us in a circle. But it was like finding your teacher. I felt like I found a teacher that I had waited a long time for. And I could feel, just from that initial experience and being a beginner and neophyte, that I was in the presence of the animating force behind my personality, behind my ego, behind my body. And it was kind, and it was showing me with each thought the foolishness of being only identified with my own self-interest and my own being. And it was a compassionate experience. And, it's wrenching. It's ayahuasca itself is a purgative. So it really cleans you out, too. It finds what's wrong in your body and seems to draw the toxin out. You either vomit or defecate, but it comes out of your body too. So I like that quality of the healing that the plant brings with this download. And like I said, I think I found a teacher, but my thoughts don't matter about it. It's really the impact it had on me. And I have always been experimenting with the entheogens as a way to contact the divine. And I had waited a long time. I did not trust a lot of the people who I met as curanderos to be able to hold that space. So I think you have an excellent opportunity here, from what I'm gathering from my research here in the Shire, to really find safe space to enjoy the benefit and the gift of ayahuasca. That's, so far, that's what I've gathered. Nice to meet you all. By the way.
Hi.
Well, that does bring up a very interesting aspect. I mean, some people have said, there's been some feedback from previous discussions we've had in the show, that they feel that the ayahuasca community can be a bit closed, or there's issues around, you know, we're not necessarily a secret society, we're very open about our religious beliefs and our spirituality, but we've talked about all these different pathways that are available to people, but what if people are interested in ayahuasca and practice of it, I mean, with the right intent here, what are some of the best ways for them to develop their capacity with ayahuasca? Dan?
Who knows? So, I think that in Australia we have, on this eastern seaboard, an incredible resource. And this resource is the acacia fields. These have been energetically cultivated and dreamed up over hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years, by the original people of this place. And living in this place, automatically either being drawn to live here from another country or being born here, you're saturated in this dreaming field. And there's something quite special about the eastern seaboard of Australia, Australasia, at this time. There's a really interesting body of work, I think, kind of described as the expanding earth. Now you can go online and have a look. But basically the concept is that the earth itself is not static in size. In fact, very recently in history, it was actually quite a lot smaller, up to 40% smaller than it is. And this creates a whole different conundrum. How does it expand? What does that mean for the flowering of human consciousness at this time? And there's a very interesting idea that as the earth expands, it will reach a certain point, let's call it a certain mass, that will be able to hold a whole different level of consciousness. And I believe that we're at that point at this time. Now, how that plays out with the acacia fields is really interesting, because if you go and look at some of the animations online, you'll see that the eastern seaboard, pretty much by this leading edge of this continent in the east, was connected pretty much to the area near Panama, Costa Rica, and Peru, which is kind of strange. But at a certain point, Pangaea, or Gondwana land, instead of being a single giant island that then broke up and floated to their respective places on the continental shelf, so to speak, they were all joined together. Okay, so all joined together, and as they expanded apart, we drifted apart. And consciousness moves in a very specific way, and as it's sweeping around the planet, the last major bubble, for example, was in the 60s with the birth of silicon consciousness in the western seaboard of the United States, which led to, you know, the technology we all running around with today, the mobile phones and computers, all with little silicon chips, all based, you know, this height. We've built an artificial crystal grid. And consciousness is orchestrating and coordinating us in a particular way for this time. And when we wake up and realize we've been taught a language of light about the most advanced piece of technology on the planet, which is our body, which doesn't end here, it goes into nature. And so we reverse engineering, so technology is just an idea of how we see ourselves that we're building out here, but it's about consciousness expansion and so on. I think I went off topic.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Rick.
It was great.
I'm really sorry to cut you short. We hope that a bit of a compartmentalised night tonight, and we're going to get on to some dancing. I've been given the 5-minute wind-up by Fonteca. But maybe to tie that off, Dan, is that, you know, these are the times, and we are the ones we've been waiting for, and the whole planet's been working towards this concrescence of consciousness through the ayahuasca. And to tie back into my question, if you're open to it, it will find you. You know, there are legalities involved with ayahuasca in Australia and throughout the world, and not everyone, we can't all, you know, just open the floodgates and data dump it to everyone en masse, but it's a bit of a magnetizing thing that, you know, when the person is right, the teacher will appear, so the plants are out there. I'm really sorry this is such a short panel discussion. I mean, it's maybe, obviously, we're all around, the conversations can continue with the tribal discussion, but maybe just a few brief words from each participant just to wind this off. And Darth Ann, would you like to say a few pearls of wisdom?
It's got to come past me.
Tie that.
Yeah, sorry.
Down.
I was going to end up a whole long way with basically saying that if you live in Australia, you're automatically saturated in the acacia fields, and being awake and sensitive, you don't even need to take the plant soon.
You were just dreaming.
There will be this richness where you just need to be present on the planet at this time and awake.
Aho, brother.
Oh, yes, I totally agree with that statement, Dan. Yeah. I think that, you know, it's very important to remember that these plants are here as catalysts. It's not an end to themselves. They're like incredible beings, just like each of us here is an incredible being. And so there's this beautiful synergy. It's almost like the plant was taking the human collective by the hand, at least a certain percentage of that human collective, which will permeate the rest of the collective. And just creating that synergy, that link, which has actually always been there. It's just that somewhere maybe it's because we were born Christians and thought that we got thrown out of the Garden of Eden, are being welcomed back in, are being opened back in. In fact, it's ourselves reaching out to ourselves and welcoming us back home. So, you know, yes, I agree. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So I just trust the natural synchronicity and organic flow of this whole unfolding, and so, you know, there are no real answers other than to just be available, be present, be here, be now, and be, you know, willing to let go of whatever is not serving us at this point. And other than that, existence doesn't ask that much, you know, they're just bent over backwards to present us with the highest possible vision of how we could live on this planet together in a co-creation. So, you know, in the end, that's what it is, and I agree, soon it will be, maybe if you choose to have the medicine, yes, good, but this consciousness which the medicine is contributing to the opening of will soon reign in its own right, and then it leads to personal choice whether you do this or that, or however you express that awareness of being here now and being fully open and transparent. That would be up to our own creativity.
The whole of the way, the whole of the Tao can be expressed or summed up in just two words. Not always so.
Not always so.
Of course it's three, that's it. Not always so.
Margaret.
It's the whole way. I think all of us just have to really just stop for a second and understand how crazily brilliant you all are for choosing to be here on the planet right now and to be privy to the wonders and miracles which we are all going to share together. And we are definitely dreaming the future. So I just encourage that, you know, if you think the awakening is just a thing in your head, I suggest you put it into the ground and you build and you do gardens and you put all of these high spiritual ideas and all this healing into 3D action for your community. It's the highest thing you can do for yourself because you literally are doing it. When you're doing it for others, you're doing it for you. So take all this lovely energy and make something happen with it. Create something because this is how we are laying down the dreaming for future generations. All this stuff is crystallizing in our hearts and our minds and our consciousnesses. We'll now do something with it. Walk the talk. Make it happen. And then everybody will be happy. Yeah. Ah.
Joseph Campbell, the mythologist, once said that the myth is the collective dream, and the dream is the personal myth. Dream is the personal myth, and myth is the collective dream. And my sense is that there's a lot of dreaming going on in Australia. There are people who have been keeping the dream time here. And I think our task is to dream the myth forward. Dreaming the myth forward. Now, if you need the assistance of the medicine's there. That's a wonderful opportunity. But value your own personal story, your own personal myth, and it'll contribute to the collective myth. I think there's a new myth being born on the planet as we speak. It's struggling, but we all have a part in it. We're all building that new edifice. So dream the myth forward.
Thank you.
I think it was Willy Wonka who said, "We are the music makers and we are the dreamers of the dreams." So on that note, I'd like to segue into dreaming the music in and really honouring and sacralising, you know, us as a tribe here together, having our discussions and also having our dance and having our tribal energies and moments to recognise each other and to come together. So thank you very much for listening to our ayahuasca panel discussion, and thanks very much to all the participants yet again.